Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I think you got him.
How am I supposed to figure out how to do this in 6 hours, Joachim? I was trained for botany, not battle.
Here, let me help you. It's pretty simple. You aim the pointy end at whatever you want to kill, and give it all you got. There you go.
I don't want to do this. I'm afraid. What if I die before I figure out what to name the yellow berries?
Paolo says that if the aliens don't kill us, the planet will, so maybe it doesn't matter so much?
Paolo's just being Paolo.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm scared too. Trust in Khan, Erica. He will find a way.
It's time to start the podcast. This is the podcast starting song.
Hey, what time is it?
It gets us hyped up to start the podcast.
Is it time to start it?
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
The podcast starting song.
All right.
It's a podcast starting song.
It starts it off.
This is how we start the podcast now.
Everybody,
if you don't
start it
like
way.
It, tough luck, because this is the podcast song.
Listen to something else.
All right. So now this week, both Dan and Jesse are taking advantage of their knowledge that I don't like restarting the podcast clock. Sort of
once he presses
once
that
I
go,
push the start button, I'm not. I'm disinclined to restart it. So.
We see that clock start ticking, and we know it's time to get that podcast a licking.
We're already a minute into this licking.
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
And welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
This is what I was made for.
Made for.
It is what we, Jesse, Dan, and I, my name's Patrick, we were all made.
My name's Jesse.
That seems to be.
That's Dan case. Pretending to be Jesse.
My name's Jesse.
My name is Dan.
I talk like my yes. name is Jesse, and I go blah, 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 blah.
I say peepity poopoos.
I go blah, 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 because I'm Jesse. Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
My name's Jesse. I go like this. Blah, 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 blah.
I forget
blah.
Everything people ask me about.
What? That's you. That's not me. That's you, bro.
I'm just using this opportunity to take a few slurps on a tasty energy drink.
Mm.
There are many energy drinks available. I'm drinking it,
but that one is yours.
I've got an Elysian Space Dust.
All right, Jesse's just out there with the brands.
That's my energy drink.
That's a big. I'm a fan of that particular.
Hey, maybe
they'll
give
IPA.
Us some money.
Yeah. Okay.
It tastes like shit.
It's got Star Trek. This is
now they'll give us lots of money. That I said
yeah,
it tastes like shit. I wouldn't know what it tastes like.
This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
This is what I was made for.
Yeah. I didn't say welcome. I just said this. This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
This is what I was made for.
It is episode 318 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Sweet.
Although apparently you're not supposed to say that.
We're not supposed to say what?
According to the whole modern podcast rules, they're like, you shouldn't have the number in your title, and you shouldn't even say the number.
Why? Who makes these rules?
I don't know. It's the algorithm.
I don't like rules.
You know these algorithms.
Why does the algorithm care?
I don't know.
I make my own rules.
The algorithms are inscrutable, but I've kept the number in the title in part as a sort of protest against this movement. Also, my OCD doesn't. I don't want to change the format of the title. But anyway.
I just feel the need to say it.
I just don't know why it would negatively affect the algorithm.
Nor do I. Perhaps somebody
who
knows more about podcasting, because, like, the only marketing thing, can write
the
in.
The only thing I could think is that the numbers take up part of the title, and so when it does its calculation, it calculates the number into what it's supposed to see, and since there are millions of numbers out there, it muddies the waters and makes it less focused.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, that's a hypothesis.
This is why you're part of the podcast. This kind of insight. You're
this,
like,
is what I'm here for.
See, I know about this. You're like, I know exactly what this is, guys. Yeah. This is my...
Although, strictly speaking, he didn't claim that he knew that. That was a supposition.
Yeah,
on
you're
point.
Right. But it sounds really expert.
Somebody who knows better is going to write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
Nobody knows better than Dan.
And they're going to set us straight about how to properly market a podcast. We certainly
you understand my words.
Certainly welcome any.
Well, that's fine. Yeah.
Any advice? Although we always get those emails where they're like, "My friend, your podcast is so great, but we could get you 10 million Instagram followers."
Oh, those are junk emails.
If you just pay us in some
hello, darling.
I'm a particular fan of the subject you matter in your podcast.
Yeah, I know.
You
right?
speak of things that it's relate, like, to me personally.
Or, like, you don't often get an email from these people. See why that's important.
Crazy business. All right. But on this
episode,
this episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, we will be discussing Star Trek Con podcast, episode 5 from season 1, or the only season. I don't know. We keep saying season 1, but, you know, I presume it's the only season.
I think it's
it. But it's episode 5, right smack dab in the middle, because there's 9 total episodes. So 5 is the little the fulcrum of
people
the
know how 5 works.
I bet it doesn't end well for this guy.
It's a prime number. 5 is one of those early prime numbers, one of those fun ones.
It comes up real quick.
It's easy to divide by.
The title of the episode is Imagination's Limits.
Stand ready. Gather the others.
Yeah.
Now, Dan.
Yeah?
You're fond of math.
Episode 5, Imagination's Limits.
Perhaps the most fond.
Yeah.
You're fond of math.
Perhaps the most.
What do you think of the theory that 5 is easy to divide by, similar to 10, because we have 5 fingers on our hands, and then we have like 10 total fingers? Some people suggest that we have a psychological inclination due to the physicality of being able to count on our fingers.
I like to multiply.
Well, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think it's more of an argument of why we chose base 10, because in base 10, when you divide by 5, it can only be the last digit can only be one of two numbers, 5 or 0. Right. And that's kind of nice in base,
because elves are into 12, I think.
Elves are into 12s?
Yeah.
So if the argument is more...
You think they'd be at 11.
The argument, I think, is more like, why did we choose base 10? Because, like I said, if you divide by 2, it's a little easier, but it's still... it could be a 0, 2, 4, 6, 8. If it's, you know, certain numbers,
10,
it could be any digit for certain numbers. But 5, it's only ever 0 or 5.
Babylonians were all about that base 60 or some shit. Right?
Yeah,
that's where they got the 360 degrees in business.
And people say, people have argued that the reason we have base 10 is because we have 10 fingers. Yeah. But I think there's cultures that, like, do different kinds of counting. Like, I think I read about one culture where the way they count is they, like, the elbow counts. Instead of, like, counting on their fingers, they, like, count on their arm. They touch their elbow, and that's 1. Wow. And then they count up. Touch their hand, and that's 2, and their other hand.
Oh, yeah.
So they have a different base. It's not based on fingers. It's based upon some kind of arbitrary
body.
You get
more numbers that way.
It's based upon some sort of arbitrary body measurement arbitrary to us, but not to them.
The crook in the elbow being a location of number counting.
So
the crook in the elbow.
So I think the idea that we are base 10 because of our fingers is a strong argument, but there are cultures that like don't follow that, so it's not the whole truth.
Good.
I mean, why, like, you got, like, you know, was it kanji is like,
sure, like the Chinese kanji,
it's really interesting. Rice. Because, like, the Roman or so not
the
Roman
characters,
numerals,
the Chinese characters,
oh, the
Roman letters,
the
Roman alphabet.
The Roman alphabet is like makes a lot of sense because you can just kind of put anything together how you want. And but kanji is like really interesting because, like, it sort of like puts symbols together to create a thought or an idea.
More to memorize, but then you have an instantaneous full concept in a smaller,
which is really
space.
Convenient for certain applications, but really inconvenient for keyboards.
But they have fewer words.
And in fact, like, I think
everybody does. English has the most words.
Yeah.
I think there are actually several solutions they've come up with to sort of transfer the kanji over to, like,
keyboards. Action,
like, there's a style where it, like, they broke down the kanji into each of its constituent parts, and you kind of, like, create the kanji, like, by its constituent parts mm-hmm. based upon the letter you press. But then yeah. they also have done the thing where they translate the sound of the kanji to a sound so you can actually use mm-hmm. the keyboard. There's like, wow. there's apparently, there's a ton of different systems for the how the Chinese language transfers to the keyboard. And they have competitions. They actually have competitions where they get the fastest typer of each style together wow. and to see which style is the fastest. And apparently the one that often wins is the kind where they kanji, where they break down the kanji into its constituent parts and they assemble it through the keyboard. Apparently that's the fastest. Oh, but the Chinese...
What does the keyboard look like?
I don't know.
Does it look like Chinese checkers?
I don't know. I think it's... I don't know if they... It just looks like a QWERTY keyboard, but like I don't know if they replace the the letters with characters. But I think like they don't use that method because... It's not unified for the language. The method where they translate the sound over to letters, I think, is more unified. So I think the government tries to push for that system, even though it's slower. Sorry, that was really not what you asked, and that was a.
It was interesting.
That was interesting. A digression to the max.
It made me have an idea.
It was valuable.
I think you should have a YouTube show where you go watch some other YouTube videos, and then you do your own YouTube video where, without any notes or anything, you just try to recollect what you. learned from the other YouTube videos.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate thing that we need to do to stave off this AI menace. Mm-hmm. Gotta keep the humanity alive. Yeah, like, instead of having the AI summarize stuff for us, it's got to be the human.
No Google.
A
little humanity.
Danny, no Google.
That would be an interesting pot, or would it not be interesting to have a podcast where we all just get together and we like talk about a subject we only remember a little bit about each, and we try to be like, no, I think it's like this. And the other guy's like, no, I'm pretty sure it's like this. Something that could be easily solved by a Google.
I kind of think you're already describing the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I had a feeling.
Often the case. Although I did have put serious consideration, and I continue to put serious consideration into a podcast I thought it'd be fun to start called Look It Up with Patrick and Friends, where the goal would be is somebody would write in with a question, and then the people who were guesting that week would each try to like look up the information using whatever their preferred method of looking things up, and
like
then
Bing.
try to be like the first person to get like the most comprehensive answer.
So that's like the opposite of what I suggested, because like mine was just like argue about exactly. stuff you don't fully know about. Yeah. Yours was like, so you can come up with the who can Google fast yeah. enough or whatever they use.
Exactly. Maybe it's not Google.
Maybe somebody has an Encyclopedia Britannica sitting next to them.
Maybe it's DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo.
Maybe it's Bing.
Dogpile.
Maybe it's Alta Vista.
Use Dogpile.
I don't know what that is.
That sounds made
up. Isn't Dogpile a search engine?
It may be. You look that up while I continue going through this front matter. This is an Oops All Voicemails episode
It's
Got Star Trek. We got a number of voicemails that we got to go through.
Yeah, Dogpile is a search. You can try Dogpile's sister site start page.
Okay. We'll try those later, perhaps on a break. But first, Dan, before we get to our many voicemails, Dan, I must ask you. Mm-hmm. So the audience can prepare. I must ask you, Dan, do we have any duty or no duties today?
No.
Do we have? I presume we don't have any that's in orders.
No.
Because there's a little bit of Starfleet action here, but...
there's an almost that's in order, but it's not a that's in order.
An almost, but so not even worth mentioning.
Well, I mean, I can just tell you
right
now.
Why don't you just say it right now, since it was an almost not in order. Not a that's in order. This is in order. You're in order.
You're in order. When
the whole system's out of order.
When the aliens are doing their alien mind thing, Khan says collect our people and return to wherever. Mm-hmm. And then Ivan says, "I will not abandon you." And then Khan says, "Do as I say."
Ah,
but that's not that's an order. That's a perfectly fine thing to say. Right. Just like, do as I say, sure.
Because I am Khan.
Because there's nothing wrong with saying that. I'm just saying that's the closest thing it would be to that's
and
an order.
And to clarify, especially for any new listeners, the reason we bring this up is because all of us, Dan in particular, but I think it's true of all of us, are sometimes annoyed by the cliche of somebody stating, that's an order, in order to emphasize something. And so when it's mentioned in an episode, we have a small discussion to determine whether or not it was an appropriate use of that's an order. Because sometimes it is an inappropriate use. Other times it's a cliched mechanism used in a lot of these shows, particularly Star Trek.
And I would argue that do as I say, while not cliched, is a little bit forced when you're under pressure, being like, do as I say. You would just say, like, just fucking do it, or like, go, or something. That's what you just be like, go now.
I'd love to see Khan just be like, hey, just fucking do it, man.
Right. Yeah, right. I know. He doesn't say that.
It's a problem. Just fucking do it.
Yes, I am the one who killed your mates. Giant pig. Come at me now and I will show you what for.
But I bet we have a list, right? You probably have broken down the
episode. I hope there's
the
a
episode.
List. If there's no list, there's no podcast.
That's like a recent activity, sort of an extension of your previous. Sometimes you'd have a few lists of specific things. Now, lately, you've just sort of been breaking down the podcast episode into its component parts or its scenes. Have you done that this week?
If that is your wish.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Confirm that.
I also have a couple extra short lists. One is called Cheesy Lines.
Ooh, there were a few in this episode.
Yeah, there were some cheesy lines in this episode.
And so that's one. What's one of the other lists called?
It's a 2-point list just called Plot Hole Cover Up.
Okay.
Plot Hole.
Plot Hole Cover Up. It's a 2-point. So it's just two items?
Yeah. And there's a 1-point list, which is not really a list.
Yeah, I mean, I even argue that 2-point ones are stretching the
stretching the
limits of a list.
I agree.
All right, so we've got a few lists coming up from Dan,
or just thoughts, because like you, if you have a 1-point sort of list, then how many lists could you call a list and what not a list?
Could simply be an observation.
Talking points.
Correct.
Oh, and we will.
Okay, I suppose
later on in our third break, we will
fun 'em up. Is it a fun 'em up?
It's not a fun 'em up. It's we introduced
it's a
last
sad
week.
Em up.
We introduced last week our first edition of. WTHIHTB.
Unimpeachable.
Where the hell have I heard that before? So thank you for sending in your guesses or answers, and we will announce who won the first version, first entry in the where the hell have I heard that before? That game.
I can't wait.
That will happen later, and then we'll have a new one. We'll have a new one for people.
I can't fucking wait
to answer. Next time. So that's what we're going to do.
How convenient.
In addition to discussing Imagination's Limits.
Good.
But first, again, we have a few voicemails to go through. So we'll start with one from Isaac.
Hello, Wingus, Dingus, and Thingus.
Oh,
hi.
Thingus.
It is Isaac from Trek 365 from Hobart, Tasmania here, saying hello. Look, guys, I was compelled to send a voicemail this week because you guys got a voicemail last week from Jesse from Open Pipe Night. And he was saying that Dan doesn't pronounce the word ankylosaurus right. Now, that's the way I pronounce it, and I haven't been correct yet. And you know what? I don't see any dinosaurs around saying, hey, you said my name wrong. So
damn right.
Don't say it how you like, mate. The other thing is, and I was surprised you let it pass, but Jesse said, do you even like dinosaurs or words to that effect? And you just let it brush off you, like wash off your back like you didn't care. But I tell you what, when you were leaving Patrick's home studio on Friday night or whenever you guys record, I'm sure that there were tears trickling down. I imagine it on the left side of your face. But you can cry the way you like. But if someone says something like, I bet you don't even like dinosaurs, that's got to hurt. Anyway, let me know how you handled that in the last week. And maybe we could start watching Jurassic Park next year instead of these Star Trek episodes. You've watched enough of those now, guys. Let's move on to something else. All right. Catch you around, guys. And Merry Christmas from all of those in Tasmania. I asked everyone and they said, sure, let's wish them a happy Christmas. See you guys. Bye.
Jam eaters.
Thanks, Agamus. Yeah, he can wish us all Merry Christmas or Happy Christmas
happy
or whatever
Christmas.
From Tasmania, because he is their representative, as he confirmed to us before that Australians do in fact like to cut loose.
Cut loose.
He confirmed that they do. So
yes.
I have to admit, when Jesse said that, questioned my love of dinosaurs, it cut a little deep. Yeah. It cut a little deep. No, it didn't cut a little deep. It just cut deep.
I just started weeping.
It is kind of hurtful.
I mean, that's not just something you throw around at someone and question their love of dinosaurs. I mean, I'm a. I,
I'm a person who likes dinosaurs.
I grew up in the 80s.
Who doesn't?
I grew up in the 80s with early dinosaur like picture books.
What was your favorite dinosaur?
I remember a dinosaur picture book where the T-Rex, he doesn't look all like slick and hunched over like he did. He like stood straight up like a Godzilla. Yeah. Like and this is like a book about dinosaurs back in the 80s. He was just like walking around like, "Hey, I'm standing straight up. I'm a T-Rex." You know, and so, you know, but I had to keep it together. For the sake of professionalism.
Yeah, for the performance purposes.
What did he say? Tears running down the left side of my face?
Well, he was guessing there was just one tear on the left side of your face. Yeah.
I was just wondering why I picked the left side.
Oh, no. Now you're going to have a complex about that. It's like, I don't like dinosaurs. They think I don't like dinosaurs, and they think I favor my left cheek.
When I cry.
When I cry single tears.
Chief O'Brien.
Thank you. Thank you, Isaac.
Thanks, Agamus.
As always. And be sure to go listen. Isaac is winding down the 365 days of coverage. Yes, you've heard correctly. Trek 365 releases an episode that is 365 seconds long. I believe that is 6 minutes and 6 seconds long. Every single episode is the same length and comes out every single day. It's come out every single day of 2025.
It's so beautiful.
Nearing the finale now, so go check out Trek 365.
No.
All right.
He's on our show.
No.
Yeah.
So he might just be on another episode at some point.
Yeah. Another.
I will not abandon you.
Another voicemail. This one's coming from Steve, a.k.a. Cinesera.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, lads. It's Steve from Battlestage Theatrica. And
hi.
I figured since we're finally coming back to our show this week that I'd get back on here and leave you guys a nice little voicemail. Really enjoying your coverage of the podcast known as Con. I had a good time listening to it, I'm sure. It seems like you guys are too. Really kind of funny that you guys are putting so much stock into the weird ads that cut in. And I'm surprised that Dan, being the Battlestar Galactica fan that you are, maybe it was different in your neck of the woods, but in season 4, there is a beloved character who is unceremoniously killed off by a bullet to the head, and then immediately it cuts to a Campbell's soup commercial where the red soup is sloshing around and splattering all over things. And I've always wondered since, you know, 2008 or 9, did someone do that on purpose? And I wonder if they're doing that on purpose today. Speaking of on purpose, I have never bought a muffin before. It's always been something that's like free.
Really?
But I bought a muffin just for you guys. So 1 second.
Thank you so much.
Well done.
Thanks, Agamus.
Steve.
At first, I thought he was doing the Spaceballs things.
This is SETI Alpha 5.
Then he did the SETI Alpha 5. Yeah.
So I think since Steve played Muffin Mouth in an impromptu game of Muffin Mouth, we had to play Dan's theme song to Muffin Mouth. Just for folks who haven't heard, Muffin Mouth is the game that's sweeping the world. I was going to say the nation, but it's really the world. Dan invented this game, where it was
just really crazy
associated
idea
with this game many years ago on a DJ DJ radio program, shock jock DJ program.
I wouldn't call them shock jocks.
Well, you know,
a long time ago.
Ron and Fez, but they would play Muffin Mouth, where you had to put a muffin in your mouth and then say something, and then the other people had to guess what it was and
figure it out.
And so the theme song to Muffin Mouth is this.
Muffin mouth, figure it out. Muffin mouth, muffin mouth, figure it out.
I don't get it.
I really like it.
Thanks, Steve. Cinesera.
I want to clarify that this commercial game that is being played is about talking about the commercials. This is mostly a Patrick and Jesse thing.
Well, I was going to say that too. Yeah, because Dan, you said you listen to the Con podcast on YouTube.
Well, I do both.
Which doesn't have
different commercials.
I do both. And
he's got YouTube Premium.
But the YouTube doesn't play any ads. But I also do it both. But like in my car, it's super easy to skip past ads, so I tend to just do it. And I feel a little guilty that I'm not giving them the time they deserve, but I do
it, and I
suck it up.
Well,
take one for the team by not listening to the ads.
The example of the Battlestar Galactica going from the dramatic moment to the Campbell's Soup TV commercial is very similar to some of the experiences I've had listening to the Con podcast, because there are many dramatic moments that end an act break, and then this week it was like Kraft macaroni and cheese is the best thing in the world, and you're like, okay, that's tonally incongruent.
Well,
now that's not unusual for ads to do that, but sometimes it's particularly hilarious how, you know, differences, like somebody's just gotten their brain eaten by a horrifying worm creature and then beaten their lover to death, and then it's all like, do you hate buying pants?
Well, I don't know if I brought this up on the podcast. I know I have brought it up in the past, but back there was this show called The Dana Carvey Show, very short-lived sketch comedy show.
Did it have Dana Carvey?
It was his show.
Yeah.
He was the one that did, you know, if you don't know Dana Carvey, he did a lot of impressions on SNL. I know you know, Jesse.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the people out there in audience land. But like, it was following the show Home Improvement, and apparently there was a very special Home Improvement where one of the kids thought he might have cancer or something. And so they're like, next week. And then the kid's going like, am I gonna die, Dad? And then it cuts straight to like, Diet A&W presents Dana Carvey Show, and they play some like really like Diet. Like silly like obscene sketch, and he said that really fucked up their ratings.
Yeah. I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. And we see that more and more with the in the podcast space with these dramatic stories. You don't notice as much in, like, on a regular old chatting podcast, kind of like what we got.
Chatting cast. Like
chatting cast.
Chatting cast.
All right. And last voicemail for this section is from Tariq.
Hell yeah.
Howdy, peoples. It's your chief Notepad +++ fan here.
For real.
And I love the fact that you guys are covering Star Trek Con. I listened to it as it came out and loved it, and was waiting to hear your guys' opinions on it, and trying to avoid chiming in because I don't want to accidentally spoil anything for anyone. But after this past week, I just had to leave a message that, Dan, you are 1,000,000% wrong about the SETI eels and the larva. The larva are the children of the eels. The eels are the big arthropods. They live on the adult and then make their way out and infect people. 1,000,000% wrong. Patrick was right. Other than that, keep up the good work. Hopefully you guys continue to enjoy this and do fun things like that. And I'll talk to you guys later. See
he has handed you your ass.
Well,
Dan's all like, I'm not giving Tariq a thanks, Agamemnon.
Well, because it's Tariq.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
Only because it's Tariq.
Oh.
I thought you might like not give it to him because it's Tariq. Well, take advantage of the fact that Tariq is an old friend of mine.
No, just because I respect Tariq, I would feel bad by not thanking Agamemnon on his behalf.
But you're gonna withhold some of the other thanks.
1,000,000% wrong.
1,000,000%.
That's wrong. A lot wrong.
That's fucking a lot wrong.
That's a lot wrong.
That's really
so
serious.
Eels can be arthropods?
We have to.
That's what they're calling. Eels, they're calling them eels.
These genetically engineered
eels live in the water.
Super people aren't very good with the vocabulary.
Well, I think. Okay, well, but the eels. Okay, when I think of arthropods, I think of like bugs and shit.
It's called the limits of imagination.
And they mention exoskeletons.
Oh, yeah, that's arthropods.
Yeah, and so I just don't think of eels as having an exoskeleton.
I think it's an ill name.
They don't even have a skeleton.
I will fully grant you that I think it's a. I've always had a problem.
An endoskeleton.
Whenever they first came up with this SETI eel thing, I disagreed because from Star Trek to The Wrath of Khan onward, we've always known them to be little crusty. Crusty creatures, like
they
little
got
lobster
little feet.
I think it just
I was like, where's Jesse
little insect
this?
Feet?
I mean, just the fact, unless someone can explain the whole exo. I mean, okay, I'll buy into it. Okay, I'll buy into what Tariq says. I'm just saying, like, if someone can explain the whole arthropod exoskeleton business to me, because that's what's throwing me.
I think it's just a poor choice in name, picking eel as opposed to centipede or something.
Yeah, that
like
girl
that.
Had it and all wrong.
Once I get it, I'll write it all down in Notepad +++.
All right, so we got to go to break in a moment, but before,
holy shit.
But before we do that...
This is called the voicemail show.
I told you, it's oops, all voicemails.
Oops. stop.
We have finally one skeet.
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
That's a post on Blue Sky from
Sabotage
from David Joseph Moody,
right on.
And he says, I'm a few weeks behind, so I'm here on the first episode of Star Trek Con coverage by It's Got Star Trek, and I'm hoping they'll hear that the lady is ululating Con in the background after the bloke says the title card. Also, I love the big broadcast. Everyone's from Chicago. So he's referring to the fact we were talking in the very first episode when we were discussing Paradise. We were describing our background with the radio shows.
With radio, yeah, the big broadcast is big.
So that's what he's referring to there. And, you know, we did mention that the lady at the beginning was ululating. I don't know that we actually pointed out that she's saying, Do you have the button there, Dan?
Yeah, I'm here's from the first episode where I got more of it.
Episode 1, Paradise.
Okay. I don't know what the fuck.
You really got that.
Okay, wait, let me try that again. Okay.
I heard my ears.
Episode 1, Paradise.
Yeah, cuz I think David Joseph Moody is
saying that she's saying Khan. I never put that together. I thought she was just going like, I can't sing that high, which is why I'm, so I was like, yeah, I can't. I don't have that right. It never occurred to me that she was actually saying something, but that makes sense. Yeah. That would be clever.
Well, thank you. Thank you, David. And of course, everyone should be checking
out. Thanks, Agamus.
Everyone should be checking out Let's Talk About Treks. Currently, if you go over to their feed now, they are covering the Star Trek, that kids show, like the little tiny kids, the baby kids? What's
Prodigy?
It called? No.
Another one.
No, that Prodigy is like the young people show. Yeah. I'm talking about the one that's on now on YouTube.
Oh, right.
The Cadets or something. Star Trek Cadets, is that what it's called? Where that's the little, it's the little Goobly cartoons?
That sounds right.
Anyway, I want to cover that shit too.
Sounds
But they're covering that at Let's Talk About Treks, and they, I'm looking forward to us concluding our coverage of Con podcast because they just covered all the Con podcasts. So I want to go back and listen to Let's Talk About Trek's coverage of that. So anyway, that being said, it's time for a break. So we're going to do that. And when we come back, we will
break them up.
Start our discussion of Imagination's Limits. Be right back.
We cannot wait.
I will not abandon you.
And we're back.
Feel that?
What is that?
Who's making that sound?
That was a good part. I really liked that.
Who's that
sound?
Who's making that sound?
That was so
it was like, weird. She told you they were going to be telepaths. It's like, no, we can do anything. We're from the 90s.
I found all of that very confusing. I was engaged. I enjoyed it. And I understood it in retrospect. And then the second time listening through, it was clearer, but the first time I was completely perplexed as to what was going on with all the psychic business. But you know,
when you just said enjoyed that, I thought of like Wimes.
Wimes?
I enjoyed it. Which makes me think if you didn't use that accent, you would have enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it.
Speaking of from the 90s, like Marla knows all this shit about like, well, here's the deal with aliens. Most of them are friendly and aliens don't have the power to blow up planets like that, blah, this, that, and the other. And like these augment people may be augments, but she's got the power of the future knowledge.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they don't have that power.
It's a running theme of people not following Marla's very good advice.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Even though they are quote unquote
superhumans,
people,
augments.
But they think that their intellect sort of like outdoes wisdom or experience, you know,
and then historical facts.
Yeah, well, Marla has the knowledge and wisdom and experience of living a certain like era of time.
Yes, exactly.
And they don't have that wisdom and experience. Yeah. They just think that they're and that's the problem a lot of people have. They just think that their intelligence is going to get them through everything. But there are certain things you just aren't, doesn't matter how smart you are, you're just not going to get a full picture of unless you have experienced it.
You cannot extrapolate the universe when you lack information about the universe because if you can be a clever person, the whole point of their clever brain is they can observe the world and then use that information to come up with conclusions. But if you haven't actually traveled the stars and met multiple different alien races, and you don't understand. You can't extrapolate as to how aliens will behave.
They don't really fit into this time.
But the problem also is that they don't recognize that fact, so they don't listen to Marla. And so part of what they should recognize about themselves is it's not like an indictment of their intellect to rely on Marla, but they're treating it as like, oh, well, she's not as smart as we are, so we know the best course of action. It's like, motherfucker, she has experienced this stuff. You haven't.
They
you
were should in be, stasis
you
for
should,
a while.
You should be smart enough to know when to listen to other people.
She has information that your super brains can use if you believe her.
And that's one thing you have to learn. If you're going to be successful at your job or anything else, you have to learn when to ask for help. It's smarter to ask for help sometimes than to try to do it on your own. People think asking for help is a weakness. No, and sure, no. if you're going to the well, or how that phrase is.
Dan, I'm gonna.
What's the phrase?
I'm gonna pin you down on this.
What you gonna do on your well? From that well,
because you gotta
drinking from the well.
What is the phrase you're referring to?
Drinking when you're drinking from that well.
Which well?
Basically, I'm trying to say, if you're always asking for help and not trying to figure it out yourself first, it can be a little tedious. Yeah. But overall, asking for help is not a weakness.
Gotcha.
Like, you should try to figure it out.
It's wisdom.
And if you think that, like, somebody else might have information that you don't have, you should not hesitate to ask. Now, like I said, if you don't even try to figure it out ever and just keep asking for other people's help, that's excessive. So it's like, keep drinking from that well. There's a saying that goes.
I think you're getting closer with that. Yeah. With the keep drinking from that well. Going to the
what
well.
What you
going to
do when your well
going to the well,
runs dry?
Going to the well one too many times or something like that.
No, it's.
I know we're bouncing around a little bit, but to bounce to like one of my final notes in this episode is Khan doesn't understand that being nice and helpful to others is a potential strategy for survival. Like, he just
is bad.
At the end of the episode, he actually states that. The character of Khan states outright, like, I don't know why this guy's helping me. That's crazy.
Right.
Like, he doesn't understand that.
He understands that's, like, eliminating people.
Exactly. It's an option. And it's not that it's the only option, right? So what Khan's whole idea, and Ivan's particularly bloodthirsty in this episode, the idea of, like, they're weak, we should jump first, right? We should attack first. We should take the initiative. It's not that there's no logic there. There is some logic there, but it is not the only option. And Dan, as you're saying, Marlon MacGyver's is saying, like, you people don't understand. These are aliens. They might have all sorts of crazy shit that we don't even know. Like, she's like, I don't know who these are. They might be telepathic. They might have magic. You know, you gotta understand what we've done without
enough
here.
Knowledge of. And
Khan has never met Q or Trelane or any of those people.
Gods help me, how can I help but fear that which I simply do not understand?
Or even just Vulcans, he doesn't know Vulcans.
And she points out, like they, in order to get here, they would have had to have faster than light travel, meaning they're very advanced. A very advanced society like this, generally speaking, is probably not going to be warlike against some people that are, like, live on the planet. Like, what could they really give to them that they need? And, like,
especially since they crashed.
Yeah, they're not
necessarily in a position. They don't know how many people are living on this planet.
Yeah, generally, like, people like who have that kind of the assumption is if you're that advanced, usually you're not, like, going to fear that, like, the unknown as much because you have so much power behind you. And so they've seen more of the universe because they're advanced. So they have a better.
I'm sorry.
It's funny that that's the one that aggravated him. I'm editing the podcast, one of my things, I honestly should start writing a list, is which ones does Dan notice and which ones of Jesse's interjections does he notice and which ones, like, literally.
I was really not going to do anything that was going to fuck your shit up. And I'm sorry that one just came out, and, like, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's just compulsion. The universe.
I'm sorry. It was a Willow reference.
What we should do is we should do a study as to if there are certain tonal inflections or
is that
or...
from Willow?
Yeah. That, well, it makes that, a like head like magic well, make, guy. He's is like that the universe?
Oh, is he the one that's like the most powerful finger is your own or whatever?
Yeah.
We don't often reference Willow.
No, we don't.
So there's no reason to.
I mean, we could.
It makes a little more sense. It's now. Whatever.
Anyways, generally, she's saying, like, advanced societies generally are not going to be. Generally, in my experience, are not generally warlike. There's nothing that they really. Why would you go to a war with, like, a bunch of people you don't know? Generally, it's because you're afraid they're going to kill you. Which this society, they have telepathic powers and they're advanced. They're probably not fearing getting killed by this.
They're not afraid.
They're not afraid of this, like, you know,
1990s humans,
like these humans that obviously have no, like, advanced structures on the planet or anything. So they're
got,
like
fucking swords and spears.
Yeah, they're melting their shit away right away.
So first of all, they're like, well, we don't fear you. Second of all, it's not like they have anything that they need. Third of all, like, you take some time to become advanced. You generally, I think not always, but you generally lean away from the war stuff in the Star Trek universe anyways. Yeah. You know?
But this is consistent throughout, again, no spoilers, throughout the Star Trek Wrath of Khan, in Space Seed, and in this podcast series, they've been good about being consistent that Khan's failure is that ego thinking that he has sufficient facts already to use his great mind, quote unquote, to intuit the right strategy.
I am Khan.
Which may have been, he might have had the information he needed to rule on Earth, although, reminder, no, he didn't, because they were able to overpower him and chase him off.
They exiled his ass.
So he already lost that shit, right?
Just part of Earth.
As was pointed out by, what was the guy's name? Haggis? Hugo? Hugo.
Haggis.
Haggis.
In the first episode, Hugo referenced that.
Why should I trust you?
And so Khan, every time he always ends up failing when he doesn't take into account that he should actually gather some facts. And in
ours is the superior intellect. Ours is the superior strength.
In this episode, right. First of all, he just states that again. He's just like stating it's some, like, some
how
slogans.
How do you know that? You don't know these people. You're just assuming you're the superior.
Exactly.
I couldn't tell if he actually believed that or if he was just trying to like pump his people up.
Well,
or what?
And at the end of the episode, when he seems perplexed about the idea of this not using violence in order to survive, that cooperation may be in some cases the better strategy. He quite literally cannot comprehend it. Like it's happened to him and he's so puzzled by it that he thinks there's a trick to it somehow. Like he's tricking me by being nice, as opposed to the alien just being like, you know what? I'm just gonna help this dude because he's freaking out and it's probably best if, like, you know,
he's from the 20th century.
And he stops freaking out.
And when the alien's like, look, man, this place is fucked up. You got to get out of here because it's fucked up, you know. And he's like, no, we're going to stay and you're going to leave. And they're like,
if that is your wish.
And then he goes,
that is my command.
He is in no,
my command.
He is in no position to be making commands. He has been taken over by like alien mind waves.
It's childish. Yeah.
They've without effort destroyed their weapons. Like they've all retreated. Khan is like,
but confusingly, because it was all like, my gun is melting.
It's like, first it was melting, breaking.
I don't know, my God.
Bending. I don't know. But like,
very confusing.
But like, he was under 100% their control. There was nothing he can do. And he's like saying, like, that's my command. And so it seems like a pretty ridiculous, I guess that could be called being in denial, or maybe he's just like really has to sort of keep up that facade, or I don't know what. But like,
well, here, and there's an interesting distinction to be made here, because when he's talking to his group, right, there's always that bit of veneer to it about, like, you can always argue, oh, he's saying this as a matter of like a pep talk, as a cultural mechanism for keeping the tribe together, sort of a tribal, nationalistic, whatever you want to call it. It's making people feel strong, like you would do with a sports team, to get them in the right frame of mind that they feel like winners and that they have confidence, and then that increases the chance on the margins that they might do better.
Okay. Ours is the victory to come.
See, there you go. You'd be like, whatever. He can believe it, not believe it, half believe it, whatever. However, when you're talking, Dan, what you're talking about, that's like in his mind.
Right, that's just him.
He's not performing to anybody other than himself and the alien. Mm-hmm. And the alien's just like, whatever, dude. Makes you like just stop hiding in the bushes with your fucking swords and shit. trying to bother us.
You do not trust easily.
We're gonna hum and melt your metal.
MacGyver's has made that point to him too. But why don't we head back to the beginning, right? Because we have a longer than has been normal chunk.
The opening
with Dr. Lear,
right?
And by the way, what is it about these history ladies who are all like super into dictators and Khan? Dr. Lear, and
she's starting to get like,
whatever. It's important in my line of work to keep an open mind.
I'm not 100% sure what the purpose is here narratively, to basically have Dr. Lear closely mirror MacGyver's, in the sense that MacGyver's in Space Seed was sort of put upon, aggravated at having to deal with whatever on the ship. And then Khan comes around. She's all like, hey, I'm totally down with Khan. Wasn't so bad.
I like all these historical dictators.
Yeah. And now they're doing the same thing with Dr. Lear.
Yeah. She says she notes that Khan doesn't thrive on adulation, implying that like he's the like really in it to like be a good leader. And she said he was mission driven.
Okay.
And the mission was to create a new kind of human society. It seems like he has all these noble goals. So she really admires this guy, but she hasn't noticed that Khan, he will love and protect his people as long as they agree to everything he says and B, happen to be on his side when safety is in question. Yes, like, it doesn't matter if the other people are necessarily against him or not. If you are in the unfortunate position of not having joined his team, whether it was because you chose not to, or you weren't even given the opportunity yet, you're just some new people. If he feels safety's in question, then all that goes out the window. Yeah. So, as long as it's all within his group and everyone agrees with him and he knows what their intentions are, like, people aren't even allowed. Like, when Paolo came up and was like, hey, we got to worry about the planet. Yeah. And he's like, oh, whatever. And he's like,
Paolo's I've done all these calculations. Yes.
And he's like,
Paolo's my favorite guy.
And he's like, we shouldn't go to war with these people. They might have stuff we can use. And instead, he's like, you're right. We should fucking take it from them.
God, I was like, we're gonna get some motherfucker. We're gonna get a couple of hard pipe wielding gentlemen.
Yeah,
pipe wielding gentlemen together.
They're going to work on the home.
And they're gonna get to work on it. We're gonna grab a couple of them aliens. We're just gonna grab them. I just love the idea where Khan's just
monster.
Like, he's already in his mind. He's like, all right, we're just gonna get a couple of motherfuckers. They're gonna hide in the bushes. Then we're just gonna grab some of those aliens. We're gonna start shaking them back and forth until they tell us their secrets.
And Paolo,
tell us where the water is hidden.
And Paolo, I mean, he's afraid to dissent because he's just like, okay.
I guess so.
You can tell he doesn't, it's not what he meant, but he's not, he can't question Khan. And so
his mission kind of backfired.
And so that's the main problem here, is that like everything's all great as long as you agree with them. And that's pretty much the crux of the whole thing, is like people don't really get a say in like how things are run at all. Nobody really gets to express their opinion.
Yeah. It's a con.
Yeah. There's no free speech in the Khan society unless he permits it, which is not free speech.
So. And he, of course, encourages, quote unquote, encourages discussion and dissent. And I think, sincerely, I do think so. He does listen to people, like he listens to Paolo, he listens to MacGyver. And by listens, I don't mean necessarily accepts what they're saying. I'm saying he gives them the space to say what they want to say. And then he's like, well, here's the reason you're wrong.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to do this anyway. Or you've given me some information to do something even more weird and fucked up than I was originally planning.
Hmm. How convenient. Khan was much more than a mad tyrant.
Well, and then, so she goes to Captain Sulu's quarters and he's grooving on some classical music.
Some tunes are playing.
Did we
I sleep very well at night.
Did we recognize what music was playing? I say we so I can include myself and pretend.
And are you finding your recordings helpful in proving your hypothesis?
Well, I don't know. I didn't catch what the music was. Jesse would be the one to ask about this.
Yeah, do we have any clips of that?
And are you finding your recordings helpful?
I forget what it was. It wasn't something that was like totally recognized.
It's like a piano concerto.
From that recording, it sounded like.
I remember now. It sounded. It was something sort of like Chopin or something.
It was like. Here, listen.
And are you finding your recordings helpful, improving your hypothesis?
It goes like this.
Dan, you made Jesse sneeze.
I know.
Your music.
I know. My music made Jesse sneeze. The music. Oh, my goodness.
This is hilarious.
How many sneezes?
I don't know.
You can sort of, only you know.
You go to the allergist. So the piano, some of them shots.
The piano goes like this. What piece does that, Jesse? Come on. You're the expert. Come on.
You're
still sneezing. My bad.
I don't know exactly what you're talking about, but from what I remember of that Sulu scene, it was something that sounded like Chopin.
Do you believe that's where the evidence will lead?
Lead.
Oh, God.
In your face, Dan.
It is great to hear George Takei. I definitely, yeah. You know, he definitely sounds like an older...
Sounds like he's 95 years old.
Sulu, yeah. So, you know, can't hide...
Unimpeachable.
Hide that so much, but it is wonderful to have
it's
him.
Wonderful.
On the program.
It's cool to have Tuvok, too.
You notice when they were talking, she's all like, you know, shitting all over Kirk and everything. But then Sulu brings up Spock and she's like,
the Mr. Spock.
It seems like like Spock has more juice than Kirk nowadays in this world.
Well,
like,
for her anyway, for her specifically, right? She clearly is less keen to accuse Spock of shadiness than Kirk and stuff.
Mr. Spock.
I would tend to agree.
But I think what's important about this conversation is it leads into this philosophical discussion sort of that they have, Dr. Lear and Sulu, in that they
Dr. Sulu, Dr. Sulu, Dr. Sulu, Dr. Sulu.
They both seem to think, when you talk about the nature versus nurture, they both seem to lean in favor of the nurture side more than the nature. Dr. Lear says monsters are made, not born.
Monsters.
Sulu says pain that is not processed is passed on, which has a lot of alliteration, but is interesting.
That is monsters. Actually my one point list, which is not a list at all, is that line is the crucial ingredient is pain. Pain that is not processed is passed on, and it's pain that creates monsters.
Yeah.
This is the point that I mean, I'm not the only one that makes this point, but it is one of the points that I was been trying to make, like, as we go on, is that like
in Discovery, I think you in season 3 in particular, I think you made a lot of similar points because there was a theme also of sort of trauma.
And I think I was bringing up last week when we were talking about Khan not wanting to deal with the dead people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, if you don't process, if you don't grieve the dead, for example, that is pain that has not been processed.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get resolved. It just gets, it festers and it passes on. That's
it comes back at you.
And so that seems to be a major point of this whole, actually, series, this whole podcast, is like this concept of
concept.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine.
I'm not sorry.
I'll permit. No, I permit it. Mm-hmm. I'll allow it.
As you wish.
As you wish.
But
their mouths aren't moving.
I find it interesting that they didn't go for the sort of more typical nature versus nurture debate. They're both really like, oh, yeah, no, it's all about nurture. But what they're sort of discussing is the responsibility of society when dealing with these people. Because Dr. Lear seems to be arguing that the society has an obligation to help these people. That's why she's like, why didn't Kirk follow up? Why did Kirk just leave them on this fucking planet? Kirk didn't tell Starfleet that they should be like checking out stuff. Starfleet themselves didn't want to check it out. And she seems to have been arguing that there should have been like people going back to make sure they were okay.
This might be a good point for me to bring up my two points of the plot hole cover.
I think this is the perfect
time. The perfect time to
and I say that with no,
better.
I say that with no foreknowledge of the points themselves.
Good.
Okay.
Number one, Lear says the odds of that planet randomly exploding 6 months after these unimpeachable scans were taken are several billion to one.
Right. Several billion to one.
Right. Now, that seems like a plot hole cover up because it's like kind of like, you know, you have the episode in TOS and then you have the Wrath of Khan. Mm. But then there's these questions in between. Like, that is one of the questions is like, why, you know, what she just said right there. It's like it's like when they sort of add a connective tissue to an unanswered question that seems unlikely. And it almost seems like she's pointing out, like being the audience member, being like, well, then, you know, like when people like watch something, they're like, hey, well, it's really unlikely that that would have happened if this happened. And what she's pointing out is like, why did Kirk send exactly what she's saying? Like, why did Kirk send Khan to the planet and it blew up 6 months later? Yeah,
but
like in the other episode, she was talking also about like, how they were scanning when they forgot the planet existed when the Reliant, I think it was the Reliant.
Yes, when the Reliant shows up, they mistake the planet. And ever since the movie came out, people were like, how would you not notice the fucking planet is missing?
Yeah, and so it's kind of like addressing those concerns. The second one is Lear says, why do you suppose he never asked Starfleet to monitor Khan's progress in SETI Alpha 5 or never returned to see for himself what had become of the seeds he planted? Mm. And then Sulu says, Starfleet captains are forced to make difficult decisions and prioritizing their many responsibilities. This is like one of Tuvok's non-answers of like, right. Heavy wears, heavy is a head that wears the crown,
Captain's prerogative.
I mean, but
Captain's
really,
but she's making a good point. It's like nobody ever checked on, like, they dropped off this like this super augment dude that like that took over the Enterprise, and they dropped off this planet, and nobody followed up on that. And that is an audience question, and they're addressing it. And that, I think that's the whole. That's a large impetus, I think, for this whole side plot of this Kirk motivation thing, is sort of like trying to answer audience questions or make sense of it or something like that. But what are you saying, Jesse?
Well, that's a good point, because he totally comes back and bites him in the ass, and it's this whole problem, and it's that they make a whole movie out of it, and like some shit happens, and like, but it's like, why didn't they just get rid of this guy in the first place? They sent him into exile.
Yeah, and they didn't check up on him. Yeah. And then the planet, and then a planet just
no lower deck style.
And then like
second,
absolutely
second
not
contact.
Any sort of like checkup. And, like why did you just like I understand the concept of exile. The concept of exile.
Balo, planets do not simply explode.
He's a bad guy. You send him into exile, but really you should be checking up on this guy, like, because he's historically a bad fellow.
And what I think it was. The last episode, I can't remember who said it, when Paolo discovered that the planet City Alpha 6 was in trouble there. I think it was Ursula said, like, oh, that won't happen for millions of years, which is what any normal person would expect. Yeah. So, like, what's the reason? I hope we at least find out, like, why it exploded so quickly.
Although, coincidence is fine, too, because it's like the plus or minus, a few million years. That's how geological things work.
Yeah, but usually, like, there's plenty of warning. Like, you can see the stage that it's at, and determine, like, well, it's in this stage of the process, because things that happen in the universe obviously take a long fucking time to happen.
Universe? You think this podcast will end with like it'll be like it's like Kirk totally like fucking planted a super bomb on there?
I hope so.
One reason Kirk didn't come back was I'm currently reading the
you don't read.
Yes, he does.
I'm reading the Star Trek novel, the Lost Years, which I haven't read, I think, in 35 years or something like that. It's been a very long time since I've read that book. It's fantastic, but it talks about what happens with Kirk and mostly Kirk, but other characters after the first 5-year mission closes down. It's kind of interesting. But so Kirk was busy, but I agree, Dan. I think,
why'd you do that?
I do think that Starfleet stuff is in part, in addition to being a framing device, a useful framing device, it's to help paper over some of those plot holes, fill in that
plot
information. And it gets us, then we get to
plot holes.
Transition from the recorded logs into the real world.
Logs.
Where we're here. I think what we're meant to hear is that Khan is sort of like flapping his wiener at MacGyver's, because that's what's happening at the beginning, right?
Are you talking about like when she's
they're all like giggling and she's all like, stop it.
he's
slapping his wiener on her.
He goes,
there are more interesting ways to use my toes.
Yeah, that part.
Use his what?
His toes. I didn't get it at first, but that's what he says.
There are more interesting ways to use my toes.
I thought that's what he said, but I didn't.
Yeah, and then
I still think he's like playfully flapping his penis.
And then she's like,
stop. It's the laugh.
Exactly.
That's a flappy penis. Like,
that's a flappy penis.
You're hitting me with your penis. You know,
it's like you're playfully comfortable. Khan is not fully engorged. Right? Not to be crude. He's just naked and having my floppy penis. I'm just
playful,
flopping my penis around.
Playful floppiness.
Yeah, you know, that's sweet. I thought it was very sweet. And she's all,
yeah, that's what happens.
It was cute. Anyway.
You're hopeless.
But although we've mentioned these aliens already, we should re-mention that it's kind of a super interesting thing to add to this story is now there's this other group, right?
If that is your wish.
Now we'll see how it all plays out. So far, I'm digging it, but I was not expecting another.
No way, dude.
Another alien group or another set of characters to intervene. I thought it was
now. It's real.
I thought it was going to be just more about like the
flappy penis.
No, the cataclysm. You know, just right? Like SETI Alpha 6 explodes, and then they got
pieces of SETI Alpha 6 raining down on them.
They got to figure that out. But now they've introduced these aliens, which has now introduced what they've used them for so far is to try to teach Khan that there's multiple ways
finding water
to do that. He's not. He shouldn't think he's smart enough to deal with this universe because he doesn't know
underground water.
I'm wondering if how these aliens are going to play into future episodes, like most everyone probably. But like I'm also wondering if these aliens are not going to play that big of a part for the rest of the series.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because sometimes this show feels, and I don't know how to word this exactly, because I don't like saying, like, that's Star Trek, that's not Star Trek. Okay. But it feels less like your traditional Star Trek and more like a digression, sort of, because each episode, it's just Khan learning about what it takes to be a leader, is the
right.
thing. And but I don't want to say it's not Star Trek. I don't mean this in a negative way. I just feel like it's more of like a side quest, you know?
Right.
Like, the aliens, like, part of me thinks they'll play into how the story unfolds in the future, but part of me thinks that they're simply a device that allowed Khan to learn to trust, to keep an open mind about stranger danger.
And also to let the sound people make, like,
bloop, yeah, right.
Bloop. Do I have an echo sound effect? Bloop, 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 bloop. No, that's not the right one.
I'm an alien.
Oh, no.
I'm an alien.
What's that gonna do?
I'm an alien. Hello. I've got nothing on my voice, so I'm just going, I'm an alien. I'm an alien.
Oh, no.
I'm an alien. I'm an Elborian. Look at me, I'm an Elborian. I'm an Elborian. I'm an Elborian.
I'm shiny.
Treachery.
I got silver hair.
Oh, wait.
I've got pearly skin. I'm an Elborian. Look at me.
I'm all pearly.
Look at me.
Jesse wants something a little too. All right.
I'm an Elborian. Okay. Yay. Right. Look at me.
I'm in a cave.
I'm the Elborian. I've got pearly skin and white hair. I'm the Elborian. What you going to say about that?
Dan. Okay.
What? I'm an Elborian. What?
I did this for a reason.
What?
We got to go to break, but I was hoping you would do your cave drip water. You know your sound effect you do with your mouth. The boop.
I don't communicate with my mouth. I communicate with my mind. I'm an Elborian.
Yeah, can you do that? There you go. That's what I wanted. All right.
Yeah,
we got to
break.
We got to go to break, and when we get back, we'll play some We will be right back.
We will do what must be done.
And we're back.
You have your orders. Go.
That's not a that's an order.
No.
Order.
That's pretty close.
Before we move on, I want to mention that, speaking of aliens, this episode references one of our favorite aliens through this quote. Listen here.
Okay.
One of our favorite aliens.
I know what this is.
Where Alf the Sacred River ran through caverns measureless to man.
Yeah.
Where Alf the Sacred River ran.
Alf.
Where Alf the Sacred River ran.
Willie.
And by the way, folks, you're not hearing wrong. It is Alf.
Yep.
It's just not our Alf. It's not alien life form Alf. It's Alf, A-L-P-H.
Where Alf the Sacred River ran.
Which was the name of a river, according to the poem Kubla Khan by Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Kubla what?
Kubla Khan.
Hey, Willie!
Hey, Willie!
Kubla what? Got any cat?
Got any con?
Hey, Willie! Got any con?
Alf! Alf, what are you? Crack! I smoked crack! Alf! Alf, I smoked crack!
I kill me!
Well, I'm dead now!
Wrench!
I'm dead, it's sad!
Hey, Willie! Hey, Marla!
I wish I could do a good Willie voice.
Hey, Marla! Hey, Marla!
Alf! He gives Willie, he constricts his throat in such a way.
Hey, Marla! Where's Khan? Where's Khan?
A few people are dead on that show.
Where Alf the Sacred River ran.
Patrick knew I was going to do that.
I did not.
Did you know I was going to play it right when I said it, though?
What?
When I said that our favorite alien, did you know I was going to play that sound?
Well, when she said a favorite alien, I knew you were going to mention the Alf River. What was the sound? Did you play the sound again?
Where Alf the Sacred River ran.
You're right that I did figure you would play that clip. I also figured, which appears to not be the case, that you might have a recording of Alf. Because we did an episode of It's Not Star Trek.
Not.
Called It's Got Alf, in which we discussed the pilot, the series.
What's a pilot?
The series premiere of Alf. That's a good episode.
Paolo's just being Paolo.
Anyway. Let's do the game.
Okay. I remember I had the cheesy lines too. So,
yeah. I want to do the cheesy lines, but let's do the game.
We got to hurry it up then.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can get through the game real quick. We can get through the game real quick. And that game is, again, WTHHIHTB. That's the short version. But it stands for, where the hell have I heard that before?
Why'd you do that?
because Dan suggested that we do more audience interaction type stuff, and this is what
I'm afraid.
I don't think did I recommend
this
that?
This is my result.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if you did or not. I was just trying to give somebody credit.
Okay. You know? Well, I'll take credit.
All right.
We did not choose this course. Fate has decided to test us.
I will. Where the hell did I hear that before? Is where we play an obscure clip from somewhere in the Star Trek franchise, and the audience gets to guess.
I'm afraid.
So last week we played this clip.
Welcome. I've been expecting you.
And we did get a few guesses. Now, we're hoping to get more in the future, but we did get a few guesses. First, Grayson sent us an audio guess.
Okay. It's definitely Deep Space Nine. The music thing, the little doo-doo-doo-doo, that's definitely Deep Space Nine. I'm pretty sure. I don't know who's saying it. I don't know what episode it is. But I'm pretty sure it's Deep Space Nine. And I'm pretty sure as soon as whoever said, I've been expecting you, was done talking, they cut to shocked reactions of members of the crew who were expecting him to look different or be someone different or be dead or something like that. That's my answer.
Well, there's one episode I can think that does that.
Oh, wow. That does.
Thanks, Agamus.
Very good.
That's
guess.
Very convincing.
It seems like an open. It seems like it would be an opening thing.
It is not, Grayson. It is not from Deep Space Nine.
Oh,
I understand why you thought so. It's not from Deep Space.
Yeah,
Nine.
No, it sort of can. It's, yeah, it
but
like
it didn't have the interesting, you know, early or that.
What?
That. We'll just move along because Gerald from Facebook did not guess the episode, but did get a bit closer. Grayson said Deep Space Nine. Gerald said something from TNG's first season.
I figured it was TNG. Something in the opening before the opening credits on TNG.
And Dan.
Before the
Dan opening might have been inadvertently last week clued people into this because I played the clip and then Dan was in the process of telling Jesse immediately, don't guess what this is. And then out of nowhere, Dan just started talking about the first season of TNG.
Oh, well, okay.
because yeah, it made sense in the context.
Yeah.
But while I was listening back,
wow,
I was like, I think Dan knows this is from the first season
honestly,
of TNG.
No,
I didn't say that.
Because your music brain, I thought, clicked onto that tingly-tingly bit.
That's just a poor timing because the reason I said that is because Jesse was like, shut the fuck up. When I was like saying that, and I was like, well, the reason I said don't answer, Jesse, is because remember a couple weeks ago when you weren't listening to the thing.
Yeah,
and
that's
you,
fair, but
I was bringing up another
cut me some slack, motherfucker.
It okay,
made sense.
That's
it was,
not the
maybe
point.
It was, maybe it was a coincidence.
No, that's not the point, Jesse. The point is that I was worried you weren't listening, and then you got mad at me, and then I was like, remember this other time,
yes.
And then I was like, remember this other time you weren't listening, and that's
sure.
I was not at all trying to relate it to that.
No,
so
that's fair.
I apologize, Patrick. That was never that
it's
didn't even cross my mind.
Quite all right.
That's fair. Oh, totally right on.
But we did get actually one correct guess, also from Facebook, from Christina Oberl, who guessed correctly that this was a clip from the TNG season one episode. I think it's episode 13, 14, something like that. Angel One.
Oh.
Angel One. It's an episode we have not yet covered.
No.
And people, if you don't remember which one that is, that's the one where they go to a planet where females are the dominant power and men are not. So, and it's like one of those reversey things. And then Riker and everybody's having a wild time. But but there is this crash. There's some survivors from a wrecked.
You said a wrecked.
A wrecked.
From a wrecked.
Passionate, but strangely vulnerable.
Freighter. And this is when Tasha Yar, Data, and Commander Troy, or she's not a commander at this stage, and Troy beam down to the planet. They're looking for survivors, and they come across this blonde fellow And he's all like,
"Where would I stay?"
He's all like, "Well, welcome." And Grayson, you were right. The camera goes back, and Tasha and everybody look all shocked, and then the music goes like dingly, dingly, dingly,
dingly.
So, but it's partway through the episode. It's not like in the beginning of the episode.
So, who got it right?
Christina Oberl.
Bilan is on it.
All right.
All right.
Good. Maybe one day we'll have a theme song for this game, but we'll see. It depends if anybody, if we can keep getting guesses. So,
Now for our next
episode, and by the way, we've got, you know, because of holidays and stuff, we've got a constrained recording schedule. So I'm going to play a sound clip, and we'll give the answer 2 episodes from now. So not next week, but the following week. You'll have until next week to write in with your guess, but you'll hear the winner on the following week. But I do want to play this clip so people have an opportunity to guess, where the hell have I heard that before?
If I could encapsulate all the knowledge I've gained through the years from life experience and careful study into a single pearl of wisdom for you, it would be this. People are idiots.
Difficult now will ease in time.
Where the hell have I heard that before? Where the hell have you heard that before? I guarantee
we
you.
We did not choose this course.
Most of you listening probably have heard that. And so write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com with your guess as to what that sound clip was from.
I'm not afraid of you.
All right, you.
You. Okay, back to our regularly scheduled programming. And Dan, can you play that clip one more time? Because I want to.
I'm not afraid of you.
You.
So remember,
he's all growly.
Was last week the episode where they had the hissy snake and it was like, no, that was two weeks ago, 2 episodes ago. It was like, was it magical thinking? I can't remember. No, it wasn't magical thinking. Anyway, but you know what? Where he was fighting the snake and the snake was all like,
yeah, right.
when he played that clip, it made me think of Khan as like,
yeah,
I'm so
he's
scary.
He's all growly.
I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah.
What about this one? What about this one?
Do as I say.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I am
yeah.
Khan.
Wait, let me look it in.
Do as I say.
Oh my God. Hermagee. Hermagee.
There were a few parts here where they were all like getting prepped. And I don't know if you people.
Holograms?
Dan and Jesse.
Hologram.
I don't know how familiar you are with John Gabris, who is a very funny comedian.
We got to hurry this along.
Person. Yeah. But there's a couple times where in the background just sounded like some guy from Long Island who was all like, hey, Gunn. Hey.
Well,
there's just a few funny voices of people like, whoa, oh no.
Well, there's
my gun is all fucked up.
I don't know which character this is. This is after they see the aliens.
Their mouths aren't moving.
I don't know what character that's supposed to be.
No. I think they just tossed in. There were new voices this time.
Yeah.
I suppose to convey the fact that there were like a bunch of people going on this ill.
How many?
There's
like 50
battle.
Or 60 people or something.
Something like that.
They said there was 100 aliens.
There was like 72 people, and like 33 of them were women.
They said like 100.
Whatever. Remember
they,
that in space? Scene?
Yeah,
they made a big deal about how many of them were
but
women.
But they were saying there's 100 aliens and there's half of us.
Yeah, but later they're like there's like 300 or 400 aliens. Remember?
No, they said there's 100 visible.
Yeah,
no, but
visible.
Were,
but
what I'm saying is the line was is like there's 100 visible, there's 100 dead, and there's half, and we have half the.
Yeah,
compliment.
They said that.
So that would be like 50.
And it still didn't make any sense why they would ever attack them with those kind of numbers.
Especially,
they still,
especially
they,
later.
They don't have the numbers.
Yeah,
but they have the superior strength and intellect, apparently. Yeah.
Although
that's bullshit.
By the way, real quick, Dan, that is, we've mentioned it already, but I think it's increasingly becoming apparent how difficult it is to convey that these are quote unquote super genetically engineered, crazy super people. Because on the one hand, which I think is important to the tale, their strategies and thoughts are not particularly bright, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the point is that just because they're genetically engineered doesn't mean they're correct. However, all their strength and stuff, we can't really see it. And then in these action scenes, it's just like blah 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 blah.
Right.
So that they're still having trouble conveying that these people are quote unquote super people.
I just want to go through the cheesy lines.
Yes,
okay?
Yes.
So cheesy lines number one. Sulu said, what is it you hope to achieve here? Khan and his people are dead. Lear says, in my experience, monsters are made, not born. Uh-huh. I'd like to better understand the recipe. Yeah. It's just the delivery in the line. It was just very forced.
I like the monsters are made, not born. I think it was the adding the recipe line. Yeah, that's a hat on a hat.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I'd like to put them in the air fryer of justice.
Like a portobello mushroom.
And turn it to 5 with 2 slices.
Number 2, Sulu says, thank you for the scans, Doctor. It's a big universe, and we've barely begun to explore the wonders it contains. Lear says, the nice thing about always looking forward, Captain, it rarely leaves time to look back. Yeah. It's like a good sentiment, but once again, it's just like, it's pretty cheesy. Like, also, I don't know who'd say that.
When you think about it, not entirely sure what it means.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where you think you know what it means at first, and then when you think about it, you're like, I don't know if that actually means anything.
I think they're trying to say, like, let's not worry about... I think she's saying, like, Sulu, you're not worried about this Kirk thing, but I am.
Because you're all, like, forward-thinking?
Yeah, it's like, you're like...
I'm a historian.
Because Sulu's like, they're dead. Why do you care? And she's like, well, we got to know why they're dead. You're just because they're dead doesn't mean we don't worry about it anymore. Yeah. But it was weird. It was awkward. It was weird. Awkward.
And Sulu likes old stuff, right? Yeah. He likes, like, old pistols.
He's an old motherfucker.
And old swords.
Another one. 3. This is Erica and Joachim. Erica goes, you still have Khan's blade? And Joachim says, always. Erica says, that's all the luck you need. And maybe this too. And then Joachim let's start again. Okay, Erica says, you still have Khan's blade? Joachim says, always. And then Erica says, that's all the luck you need. And maybe this too. And she kisses him.
Oh, it was a kiss.
Yeah, and then Joachim says...
I thought she took a towel and slapped him
on the ass. And then Joachim says, oh, why'd you do that? You know, because that's what you do when someone kisses you. Well, I don't understand why someone would kiss someone else. But the cheesy part was just like, so we both have something to look forward to. It's like, once again, it's like, that's a very movie line where it's like, it's a very forced dramatic line. It's like, so we both have something to look forward to. It's like, why? I just can't picture a scenario where you would actually say that for reals.
When you come back, we're going to fuck.
Like, so we both have something to look forward to. It's just like, we have our whole lives to think about. I don't buy it. Four, when they go into battle, it's kind of cheesy with the marching music and the shring of the metal and the weapons and them going, Khan!
Absolutely.
When they go,
because they have swords and maces.
It's this. Oh, wait, whoops. No, that's the wrong one. Sorry. It's this one. I mean, I know what they were trying to portray, and they did a good job, and it was a lot of imagery, but it just, I don't know, something about it felt...
MacGyver's got as a phase.
It felt a little cheesy.
MacGyver.
And number 5, of course, when they're battling the aliens, and he's like... It was just, it was a little much.
Yeah.
It was a little much.
It was totally Khan.
It's tricky because... if you take that to be an example of his impotence, but not realizing he's impotent, then it's kind of interesting. But that's not how it's played. The audio design and the structure is more like we're supposed to be all like, yeah, we get why the people are following him. Yeah. Whereas when I hear it, I'm like, that sounds silly, dude. The situation you're finding yourself in now after not following the advice of sensible people, and not just MacGyver's, but Paolo, etc., you sound a little silly.
Khan!
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 Kubla Khan.
I am Khan, ruler of Seti Alpha 5.
Khan was much more than a mad tyrant.
Khan! Khan!
There was a lot of Khans in this episode.
Did you group that under Khan?
No,
a folder.
I should have, but I grouped it under nouns or words like declarations or words like
declarative nouns.
Well, like
the monster.
That and like
Mr. Spock.
I'm not a monster.
And like
alien treachery.
These kinds of nouns, I give them their own category, and there were a surprising amount this episode. A lot of them taken up by many instances of people saying Khan. Mm. You know,
there was a lot of. A lot of Khan talk.
Yeah.
I mean, it is
the entire planet.
Star Trek Khan.
Xanadu, 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 Xanadu.
I do hope one day I can convince you guys to do like a Xanadu watch through or something. Maybe
with
not
some
a
fried green we'll tomatoes.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. I was gonna say like a double header with fried green tomatoes.
I mean fried green tomatoes. I'll do that.
Do
the secret
on my
in the
own.
Song.
Do we want to run through the parts?
Yeah, let's close out the show by quickly running through the parts.
It's fun.
And then Jesse and I can interject periodically to add information and humorous elements.
Stuff to piss off Dave.
Yeah. No, we're supposed to interject. This is a part where you're supposed to interject. All
right. You're supposed to.
Well, fuck you.
talk about an interjection.
I'm like, Con, I give you free speech when I allow it.
Hey, yes. Absolutely.
So this begins with Lear gets called to Sulu's quarters, and she's like, as usual, complaining about it. She's like, you know, they don't work for him.
Right,
she's always complaining about Sulu and being bothered by her work. And he realizes, he's like, you summoned me? You don't like being summoned. And then there's a whole conversation that we talked about. She's questioning about if Kirk knew about the instabilities, and Sulu's like, you know, Kirk's great. And she's like, well, it doesn't mean he didn't know. And then he's like, well, Spock performed. And she's like, oh shit, Spock did. That's great. And then he's like, you really think Kirk would have done this? And she's like, maybe because there's so much prejudice against eugenics.
Yeah.
And then Sulu's like, well, I knew Khan and he was an asshole. And it's like, why do you care anyway? And she's like, well, if he's an asshole, it was with the help of outside forces. We should try to stop this from happening again. And Sulu's like, Khan's troubled. We shouldn't have. And then Lear says, we should have helped him. And then Sulu was just like, Captain Kirk provided. This is a weird line. Sulu says, in Khan's case, Captain Kirk provided him with an opportunity to seek within. In Khan's case, Captain Kirk provided him. In Khan's case.
I mean, no. To be fair, it does, at least the way you're performing it, it does sound like a tongue twister. You know, like a Sally sells seashells by the seashore type business.
In Khan's case, Captain Kirk provided him with an opportunity to seek within for his better angels, I think he said. Yes. It was a weird statement.
Yeah.
I knew what he was saying, but it was weird. But I don't know how Kirk provided that for him by isolating to a planet, you know? I don't know.
Well, at the end of Space Seed, the whole deal was... it was awkward. When we covered Space Seed, we commented on that, and it was like, okay, wait a second, this guy did a bunch of assholy shit, and then they're like, be like, oh, we'll just beam him down to this planet. Yeah. He can have his own little empire down there.
Yeah,
he can do his whole Sim City thing.
We'll just forget about him for a while.
It won't bother anybody. It'll take him
until he comes back to bite us.
They won't be able to build spaceships or nothing.
And Kirk didn't provide him with much of an opportunity if he set him up to fail, you know. So which he probably didn't. But.
He didn't. That's the thing is, I think at least as our understanding is, the idea was the planet without the City Alpha 6 shit, the planet would have been pretty rockin'.
But I'm saying if Lear was correct that Kirk knew, then that's not really setting him up for giving him an opportunity.
Agreed.
Anyway. But
she's biased in a certain direction.
She's got two asses.
Okay. Yeah. Bye.
I did that joke once before.
Okay.
Bye assed.
Okay.
Yeah. Two asses. Okay. Number two, Khan and Marla are doing something about dipping toes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Someone calls for
flapping penis.
Flapping penis scene. Yeah.
Flapping.
Someone calls for Khan. There's a big explosion. City Alpha 6 exploded. Yeah. Khan's like, no way. Pieces of a ship fall from the sky. And then. Lear is like,
the sky is literally falling.
Sorry, not Lear. Marla says that. The sky is falling.
Literally
falling. It was except it wasn't literally because the sky doesn't.
Not the sky. It's chunks of chunks of planet.
Chunks of a planet.
They're going to take a while to get to you because it's still a far away.
I think that ship has sailed.
The ship has sailed to Earth. Number three. So yeah, the ship falls. Number three. Khan and Ursula and Marla are together. Marla knows that these aliens are advanced because of how they got there. Yeah. And then they're all like, maybe they blew up the planet. Marla's like, no way, that requires too much power. And why would they bother, you know?
Because Marla actually knows these.
Yeah, for a non-augment, Marla seems to be quite the expert on a lot of things around here.
She's starting.
And the augments are pretty naive when it comes down to it.
As you noted, Dan, by virtue of the fact she simply was alive and knows these basic facts about, like, at that time, those are basic things to understand.
They're from the night.
It's hard to blow up a planet.
And she says things like, you know, it's a lot of energy to blow up a planet. Why would they even bother? They were probably just surveying. And of course, Khan is just like, he's like, take care, my dear. While these suppositions might apply to you and your Starfleet, we have no way of knowing who. It's like, no, this just applies to this time period. And
exactly.
Like, we've gathered data. It's not just Starfleet. It says we've gathered data. We have knowledge, you know? So, yeah, this is kind of shitty, Khan.
For real.
And it turns out she was right on probably all accounts, including the telepath thing, which is a little bit.
That was weird. Because this episode, she was Well, I was about to say literally, and I don't like saying that, but yeah, literally. She was right about everything.
I mean, when she was right about the telepaths, I was like, you know, that was a little much.
They could be telepaths,
you know?
I was like, okay.
Well, you know.
But it was okay. It's okay. Khan was being stupid. She also suggests that they might be able to help him, which he was also right about.
Absolutely.
And both Khan and her are both worrying about survival, but he's doing it in a much more nearsighted way. His concern for survival involves killing anything that they don't know about without learning.
Yeah.
Hers is to look forward to the future of what might be possible, you know?
He's from the 90s.
Yeah, from the 90s. Got that 90s mentality, World War III mentality.
Yeah, laser suit Larry.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Remember that video game?
Yep, yeah. Sure did. They get there and they see the aliens. They see they're standing around. Ivan wants to kill him, and Ursula agrees. Yeah. And Marcela's like, Ursula.
That's a funny portmanteau.
Yeah, it is. Marla is like, you guys are nuts. In my experience, most species are friendly. And Khan's like, we should kill him.
And Ivan increasingly seems more and more dim.
Yeah, right.
Seems sort of stupid.
Yeah, he is. Because he's like, target practice?
Target practice?
That's why they were shooting the planets. He might have been being a smart ass, but still. Marla was telepaths. Yeah, she says they're probably telepaths, which they were. She suggests calling Starfleet, and Khan's pride basically won't let him. He's like, they've stranded us on a dying world. It's like, well, that doesn't change your need for help.
Nope.
That's pride, fucking.
Yeah, that is.
That's Marcellus Wallace.
That's not a good
Marcella. What was the
Marcella Wallace?
Marcella Wallace.
Chicken Marcella Wallace. Right. That's not a good leader quality. Khan goes back.
Are you going to go home, jerk off? That's all you're going to do.
That's right.
All Pulp Fiction references.
You're going to go to the lake and flap your penis around.
Yeah.
And that's all you're going to do. Okay. Yeah. Khan goes back and leaves Ivan to stay and observe. Joachim tells Paolo about the aliens and going to war.
Yeah.
And then Paolo's more worried about the SETI Alpha 6 exploding.
And I'll make a point here.
Paolo beat up Joachim in the first episode?
I will interject here. I don't have an answer to that because I don't recall. But I did think it was important to note that one thing that this series has done, I think quite effectively, is increase the diversity of Khan's group of people.
Yes.
Yeah. Because previously they're just sort of like, these are all warlike people. No. I like that they have the warlike types, they have the more nerdy types, they have the artist types, they have people who are like totally
doctors.
They might be super strong and stuff, but they're still not like down to go like actually like fight people. Yeah. They're like, can I just stay back here and like do my calculations?
Like, I'm not cool with
I'm good at fucking calculations.
Shit.
Yeah.
All right. Interjection concluded.
So Paolo points out that the earthquakes are gonna happen, tidal shifts, access to food sources. Paolo is questioning Khan behind his back. Because he's like, it doesn't matter about Khan can't control the laws of physics.
Yeah. Paolo's cool.
That's hearsay or something.
Hearsay is when you heard somebody else say it.
No, but
I heard it.
No, but if you say heresy, isn't that like
heresy.
Sorry, not hearsay.
Yes, absolutely. Heresy is going against doctrine.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, that Khan fool's got a lot.
Number 5, Khan has a meeting strategizing an attack. And she's like, if they're telepathic, we're fucked. And Mado thinks of a sneaky strategy where they like go on the defense and just put fewer numbers out in front to make them think they're smaller than they are. Some kind of defensive
stance. They don't have that many people in the first place.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It's still like amazing that he was even so ballsy to be like, we're going to attack.
Well, this is the same guy that says, I command you to leave after he's gotten taken control alien mind powers.
Yeah.
You can't fire me, I quit.
Ivan says to get at them before they get stronger. Marla suggests that maybe the atmosphere wouldn't be compatible. Marla gives all these reasons as to why like they might not be getting stronger.
Yeah.
Khan, of course, agrees with Ivan. They all have a very one-track mind, like one that assumes the enemy thinks and behaves just like they do is the problem.
Yeah. And their thinking is itself very constrained.
Yeah, they're essentially attacking what they believe.
Even by 1990 standards.
No.
They're essentially attacking what they believe to be themselves, essentially. Yeah. They're not considering the possibility of how different aliens can be. And Marla's like,
classic strategic error.
Yeah, and Marla's like, I've seen it. They can be all sorts of shit. And they're like, whatever. I don't believe you.
You have like all these arms and shit.
Yeah, so she reminds him of that, but nobody wants to consider anything about that. The only but what they would fear that that themselves could do. Then Khan says he wants to attack in the morning. Number six, we're seeing Erica is training to fight, and Joachim's helping her, and she doesn't want to fight. She just wants to name her yellow berries. Joachim, he seems slightly exasperated. He tells her about Paolo's gloom and doom, and that's when she goes like,
Paolo's just being Paolo.
Joachim, unlike Paolo, Joachim says to trust in Khan. Yeah. So Joachim seems to follow Khan blindly. Of course, Khan loves Joachim, so. Yeah.
Totally.
But Paolo's wising up. Joachim's bumming about his dead dad. Erica cheers him up with a kiss. And then that's when Joachim's like, why does a person kiss someone? Why'd you
do that?
my wiener got all
fuzzy.
Seven. Khan is sharpening his blade. Ursula enters and brings in Paolo.
I know, just looking at this shing.
Yeah,
shing, shing. This is where the sound design is fun.
Yeah, and this is the part where Paolo says not to fight the aliens because we need to think about what kind of equipment they might have. And yeah. Khan, instead of being like, okay, and like, let's make friends with them, which is what Paolo seemed to want. He was like, oh, let's take it from him.
Okay, you know? The very sensible idea that we have no fucking clue about these future alien crazy people.
Yeah.
Maybe we should take some time to take a peek.
Yeah. Right. No, it's all about take and kill. And Khan, he's like, okay, I'm not going to argue with Khan. And then he says to Marla, he says, I know you're worried about me, but don't worry. I'm good at killing people. And Marla's like, I don't know. And Khan says like, I made my choice. That's the end of it. That was in usual Khan fashion. He's like, I have spoken, you know, that kind of thing. But the thing is, it's funny because Khan totally misses Marla's point. Marla's not worried because she's afraid he'll lose. She's bummed out that he can't think of like a more creative, potentially beneficial solution than to just eradicate what he fears.
Well, the limits of imagination.
Yeah, she says one of the most fucked up things I've ever heard somebody say to somebody, which is, I'm saddened by the limits of your imagination.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like him, her saying that,
it's rough,
to Khan, like it goes to the next scene pretty quickly. But that must have stung because he thinks he's all super clever.
That's some heavy shit.
That's like worse when your parents say, "I'm disappointed in you." You know? Your closed-mindedness makes me sad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but she's bummed that like all he considers is like, don't worry, baby, I'll kill him. It's like, that's not what I'm worried about. And then the eight, they march up with their weapons, presumably in some kind of weird lockstep. And,
that was weird.
Khan gives some kind of Independence Day style speech, the movie Independence Day. Yes.
Yeah.
With Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Lone Star.
Of Spaceball fame.
And it's funny, it's usual Khan bullshit. He goes, my brothers and sisters, we stand together tonight, united in purpose, strong of limb, courageous of heart, and above all determined. We did not choose this course. Fate has decided to test us. You know, for a man that doesn't believe in God and magical thinking, he's sure quick to blame fate for his decisions.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Or claim fate is why he will win, or he does that a lot, too.
I mean, essentially like saying this is God's will. Like, when somebody says to do something, and it's say like, oh, it's God's will. It wasn't my decision to go to war. This is God, and we're just reacting. Yeah. He's not taking responsibility for the decision he made to detect an alien. I mean, Marla offered alternatives, and he actively and continuously went with decisions that led to battle. He didn't have to, and now he's acting like it's fate that's doing it.
I like when God like picks one football team to win over the other.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
God, yeah, right.
That's my favorite.
Yeah,
or like an army.
God bless America more than any other country.
Not lately. Oh, no.
Well, we haven't. We haven't like won a war since like World War II.
But so he's turning he's this Independence Day style speech. This is a potential massacre of a bunch of innocents, and he's making it all like, you know, inspiring or something. And then the presumptuous nature of it being like, we have superior strength and intellect, and it's like, you don't know that. So number nine, Khan and Ivan are going to war. There's like 400 of them. It turns out. Yeah, you're right. There's 396. They're lining up to shoot him. Then the alien magic happens and it breaks their weapons. And Ivan, he's like, we'll just kill him with our hands instead. You know?
This guy, man.
Yeah, I know.
These magic people.
Yeah, right.
Are impacting our weapons.
I'm not a monster.
And then you're going to strangle them?
And then he goes like...
Even if they don't speak, they probably bleed.
It's like, that's not helpful. How is that helpful?
I know, right?
What are you going to... You can't... They don't bleed if you don't get to them.
And when you're dealing with, like, exobiology... I don't know how strong a statement that is. I think it's coming from an area of ignorance.
What's next, Dan? Moving on. They retreat. Ivan resists. Khan decides to confront the aliens head on. Once again, full of himself. I'll do everything. And then he's like, my lord, what are you doing? He's like, using my imagination, calling back to the Marla thing, which Ivan wouldn't have gotten that reference because he wasn't around when Marla said that.
And by that, did he mean just by he was going to be like more aggressive? This is where I was confused. I is he going to be more aggressive? Was he thinking hilarious thoughts to confuse the psychic people? That was my first thought. My first thought is just he was thinking of ridiculous things. But they didn't convey that.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he
confused the telepaths.
Ultimately, I'm sure this is the next one you're going to mention, but this is ultimately he gets to meet Del Monda of Elboria.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was just going to say you have to give it to Khan. He's not a coward.
You got to give it to Khan.
He's not a coward.
Nah.
He's not a coward. He's brave.
No.
In a way.
He is rush Khan. Out there.
But yeah,
foolhardy or brave. Khan. Whatever you want to call it.
Well, he goes to weird alien mind land and he meets
Weird alien Yankovic.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Del Monda of Elboria. Yeah. They've been traveling for 2 generations. And, you know, that's when they're like, our ship got fucked up because we were going around. And he's like, you better get off. I'll worry about that. And he's like, well, that's your wish. And he goes like, that's my command, which is like a ridiculous thing to say when he's under their control.
Yeah.
And even though he's been nothing but an asshole to them, they show him where the secret water is.
I know.
And so that's where it ends.
The drippy sounds. Drippy sounds.
And then this, to end, 11, this is quick. He wakes up in Med Bay. Ursula's there. He talks to Marla about his experience. He's all shocked and messed up, but he seems like he has an epiphany, which he does. It's the new water source. He gathers the others. 12, he goes with the crew to the new water place, and they just love it. And Marla reads the poem Kubla Khan by Samuel Taylor Coleridge.
Yeah.
She also gives like a very long speech about Zephyrim Cochrane.
Yeah.
Kubla Khan.
Yeah, she does.
Like a very long speech.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like she was reading it off of a pad.
A pad.
Yeah. Like a pad.
So Paolo's all hyped about this. And finally, 13, Khan gives some log or something. And he's just like, he's like, this is my empire, though it's not what I expected. I'm getting shit like, but I never expected it. And should I trust it? I have a fuck shit up mindset, but this alien dude doesn't. He helped, even though I was going to fuck him up. Why? I don't trust it, but I don't trust what will happen if I don't trust him.
Can't comprehend it.
Yeah. Then it ends with Khan saying, God's help me. How can I help but fear that which I simply do not understand? Which sort of like puts a point on it, but it's a little on the nose. It's a little on the nose. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there.
Thank you, Dan. That was well done.
I got
done.
That in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. Okay, so conclusion. Again, another entertaining episode. However, this one I think was a bit more...
He's my number one dad.
This is a place... I called this in my notes a place-setting episode.
Yeah.
This is the 5th episode, smack dab in the middle. It's the hinge of the season. And
I
feel like they were kind of reviewing a lot of the up till now and setting the pieces on the chessboard, introducing the aliens, you know... The water. They were setting everything up for what's going to happen in the next in the next 4 episodes. So we look forward to talking about those.
Will the aliens come back, or were they just a device to give them water or give them hope about other cultures?
Well,
I don't know.
We will figure that out, and maybe next week, maybe we'll play some Muffin Mouth. Maybe we'll play a new game called First Name Basis.
First
That's
name
a possibility.
Basis.
We'll see. But we will be discussing The Good of All.
If that is your wish.
The Good of All, and having all sorts of fun next week.
Yeah.
So come back. In the meantime, you can write us at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com, Patreon/itsgotstartrek, or patreon.com/itsgotstartrek.
Del Monta wants us to survive. All of us.
www.itsgotstartrek.com, Facebook, YouTube, et cetera, Blue Sky, @itsgotstartrek.
Blue Ski.
You guys know the deal.
Blue Ski.
Follow, subscribe, all that other business. So we will talk to you at a similar time again next week. Goodbye.
You've given me much to consider.
This is for history.
We have no way of knowing who or what these creatures are.
If they are advanced enough to travel the universe in warp-capable ships, they might be able to help us.
Why do we need their help?
Because eventually, the broken pieces of SETI Alpha 6 are going to start raining down on us.
And that is bad?